Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Meat is murder.
Strange.
Occupation is a crime.
Odd.
As a black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, poet.
Weird. Out of the ordinary.
Bomb them back to the Stone Age. Say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior.
Welcome to Queries with Lana, Emma, and myself, Madeline. Today we're talking about self-care with a queer lens. Self-care is a kind of broad topic, so we're going to break it down, give it a queer bent, and give you a range of perspectives. What is queer about self-care?
How is self-care queer?
That too. How is looking after yourself different for queers? Today we're going to hear from Audre Lorde and also from a compilation of 11 queer black women on self-care and also a great flashback on self-care for lesbians in the 90s. And apparently it involves a hot tub. Need I say more? Get comfy and get ready for half an hour of queries.
One of the greatest writers, poets, activists, black lesbians that I look to is Audre Lorde, who is a Caribbean American writer, radical feminist, womanist, lesbian and civil rights activist. One of her most notable efforts was her activist work with Afro-German women in the 1980s. She spoke on issues surrounding civil rights, feminism and oppression, and her work gained both wide acclaim and wide criticism due to the elements of social liberalism and sexuality presented in her work with an emphasis on revolution and change. She died of breast cancer in 1992 at the age of 58. I'm really excited today to be able to say that we're going to be airing a reading of her poem, A Litany for Survival.
Litany for survival. For those of us who live at the shoreline, standing upon the constant edges of decision, crucial and alone. For those of us who cannot indulge the passing dreams of choice, who love in doorways coming and going in the hours between dawns, looking inward and outward at once, before and after, seeking a now that can breed futures like bread in our children's mouths so their dreams will not reflect the death of ours. For those of us who were imprinted with fear like a faint line in the center of our foreheads, learning to be afraid with our mother's milk, for by this weapon, this illusion of some safety to be found, the heavy-footed hoped to silence us. For all of us, this instant and this triumph, we were never meant to survive. And when the sun rises, we are afraid it might not remain. When the sun sets, we are afraid it might not rise in the morning. When our stomachs are full, we are afraid of indigestion. When our stomachs are empty, we are afraid we may never eat again. When we are loved, we are afraid love will vanish. When we are alone, we are afraid love will never return. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard nor welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak than remembering we were never meant to survive.
I guess I picked this topic this week because I have a background in mental health, and it comes up again and again and again. People coming to me, queer people coming to me and asking for support, needing support, and really thinking about how I can look after myself and they can look after themselves, particularly in a space where we face so much oppression. I've certainly been yelled at in the street. I have a family that doesn't like me because of my sexuality. And identity as a queer person, it sometimes gets really hard. And Andre Lorde has been quoted as saying, caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. Next up, we get to listen to the recordings of the writings of 11 black, queer and trans women discussing what they do for self-care.
Regina Battle, web developer. Being the introvert that I am, I spend a lot of time alone. Taking time to myself allows me to recharge while doing the things I enjoy most. I respect my own limits and know when it's necessary to step back, which often requires saying no. Surrounding myself with good, positive people is essential, as well as minimizing my exposure to negativity. I practice mindfulness, live simply, and just always remember to breathe. Blair Ebony Smith, scholar, feminist, student. I practice self-love by creating with the intent to be present and non-judgmental. I create with the intent to honour black, queer ancestors and honour my own creativity. To honour my creativity, I let myself create whatever it is I may want to in the moment, whether that's a beat from a sampled record, painting, collage, or writing. I also move and breathe. I look to walk and practice yoga. Self-care is about community. I enjoy being in community, celebrating life, taking shit, or just being with other black queer people. Lilarette Giselle Aliyeth, queer black trans femme visionary. Self-care to me is about hanging stuff up until I'm absolutely ready to carry the burden again. If that means ignoring phone calls, text messages, emails, and even resting as opposed to studying for that exam, then I will do so. Sometimes, no matter what the circumstance, you need to just clear your mind and at least pretend you're all good and can't let a thing hold you down or stand in your way. Pretend that you have all the time in the world and allow your body and mind to reset before you pick back up where you left off. Stasia Michelle, producer and vocalist. The first step for me was self-love. I love my body, my mind, and my spirit. I want to preserve it in the finest and most luxurious ways that I can within my means. I take vitamins. I make sure to work hard and play equally as hard. I try my best to keep bad energy and vibes away, ridding myself of toxic relationships. A bath with scented oils and a fresh haircut can also do wonders for your confidence. Denise Maurice, creator. How do I practice self-care in a world designed to break me? I keep myself healthy by first understanding that this is my strength that is being discriminated against, not my weakness. These black women hips bear the weight of the world with style and grace. This melanin in my skin can withstand the harshest of sun rays, and some days I feel as if I am the sun herself. I would be jealous if I wasn't blessed to be who I am. How dare I step outside of gender norms and express myself when given strict commands to fit into a mould so that everyone else can understand me? How dare I not care about the opinions of people I will never ever even meet? Because I know what I am and am aware of my own strength and beauty, I practice self-care by creating spaces that allow not only myself but other gender non-conforming and artistical expressive individuals to flourish without having to twist and bend themselves into the form that society deems acceptable and employable. I am a firm believer that we are all born with specific gifts, and if we become passionate enough about these gifts, we can create our own means of survival. I practice self-care by refusing to believe the lie that I am not good enough. Spread love. Monica Roberts, writer, activist. When I'm not writing on Transgreet, I have to take a moment to step back and actually do stuff for myself. There are times when I like to write poetry, and I do have a couple of fiction manuscripts and novels that I'm working on. There are times when I just sit back and just chill and go to a ball game or something, just to get away from always being in 24/7 serious activist mode. Diamond Sharp, poet and writer. I take time to myself. I say no often. I don't feel bad for putting myself first. Stud Slayer, advocate for masculine women of colour. Self-care is something I recently learned how to do. In the past, I never had time to take care of myself. The neglect made me very grumpy and stressed. Now I make it a point to look out for my own well-being and mental health no matter what's going on. Kind of like pay yourself first in regards to finances. I write frequently and I spend a lot of time at the gym. Working out and exercising is not only good for my physical health but my mental health as well. I take care of my soul by writing on my blog and continuing to reach out. Be there for and mentor masculine women of colour in regards to sexuality, self-esteem, gender identity and a myriad of other issues that aren't always addressed in our underrepresented community. Female masculinity is very much misunderstood and misused, and we need to continue having discussions about how we move in the world as masculine women and the microaggressions that come with that. Giving back keeps me close to the people that matter to me and makes me feel like I'm contributing to the solution instead of just complaining about the problem. JP Howard, queer diva, poet, nurturer. During the work week, I practice self-care when I seek out and find moments of quiet, introspective time. Like so much of us, my days are super busy, and I'm in a relationship with my partner. We are raising our two sons, and I also curate a New York-based literary salon while working at a full-time, fairly demanding day job. When I can, I take long walks, usually by the water, during my lunch hour to regroup and focus on self. These quiet moments are very precious to me. I also try to make a habit of travelling outside of New York to attend writing residencies or fellowships that let me pursue my own creative writing for an extended period of time, either in a quiet setting or in an environment surrounded by fellow writers. For this full-time working mum, even a week away from home is a true indulgent writer's luxury. While these residencies or fellowships may only happen a few times a year for me, they satisfy my self-care needs. I get so much writing done, I get a week away to solely focus on being a writer, and while I miss my family during these trips, I think a necessary part of self-care is finding quality time to nurture ourselves, especially for those of us who are often busy nurturing others. Lanash Crockett, recovering artist, black culture junkie, semi-professional big mouth. This question kind of stopped me in my tracks because I've been doing such a poor job at it this year especially. But more recently, I've been working on taking deep breaths, being nicer to myself, and doing some yoga at home. It takes me being attentive to my body's needs, which for me is also a form of self-care, not ignoring what my body and mind is trying to tell me, which takes some work, but I always end up feeling better for it. Also, binging out on my favourite TV show and spending times with my friends always, always, always helps make life a little sweeter. Lords Ashley Hunter, MPA, Black Trans Revolutionary. I love to cook and take walks in the park with my dog, Kashmir, but I also enjoy taking time to touch myself. There is healing in your own touch, and I level up on this body, taking time to breathe, because every breath a black trans woman takes is an act of revolution. I practice self-care by becoming self-merged in self-love, allowing others to give love and allowing myself to receive love, but always being particular with my love and with the love I allow in my life. For me, practicing self-care is an act of self-love.
That was a list, a recording of the writings of 11 black, queer and trans women discussing what they do for self-care. Recorded, or the audio is by Clinton Wimhurst. Thank you, Clinton. You're listening to Queries on Joy 94.9. Yes, we're very joyful in the studio because you're... got Lana, myself, Emma and Madeline here, and today we are talking, is self-care queer?
We're pretty queer in here.
Yeah, we're pretty queer, and you know, self-care is pretty queer, you know, doing something to actually look after ourselves. Next up we have Kat Marie Yost with her piece, A Lesbian's Guide to Self-Care in the 90s. It's a performance as part of QWERTY, a queer librarian party in El Rio. Now, I have to tell you there is...
Oh, a queer librarian party. Bring it on.
I have to tell you, there is a bit of a language warning. So if you've got little ones, maybe now is a good time to go and have some lunch.
Crying out loud, just throw your hands into the sky to the goddess and shout, Saturn return! During an episode of The Office, because you realize in all likelihood you will never ever work in an office nor drive a Prius. You comfort yourself while rocking, saying, Saturn return. Saturn return. When you get burned, Saturn return. When you burn a bridge, Saturn return. If Saturn return is the lock, my friends would have me believe something called self-care is the key. Well, we didn't have self-care in the Midwest. I learned a bit about self-care as such from people who were usually doing the opposite of that during my after hours at the bar in the Mission. They would talk with me about really working on themselves while really working on a shiny bag of cocaine. And then there were the others who used the term self-care as a kind of sheriff's badge, only they were sheriffs over a town of shame. Shaming sheriffs. Oh, so-and-so, she just doesn't take care of herself. She should do a cleanse. She should try detox tea. She needs veggies. She needs to juice, etc., etc., etc. It is the woo West Coast version of the old Midwestern grannies in my neighborhood using the statement, God bless her, but in front of every insult and piece of traded gossip. Manifesting, which you will. Crystals and minerals in the pockets of your sexy mom jeans. Communal baths, hot springs, bubble baths, all water activities, having a totally non-bathhouse, not sexy time vibe. This is self-care, people. Come on, perverts. Stone massage, taking photos of your tea in a sprig of lavender and posting it on the internet. Burning sage, nanny petties with your ladies. Self-care in the sense of self-care does not come naturally to me. Self-care, who cares? I want to shoot a bow and arrow. I want to howl at the moon. I want to get fucked. Instead, I will get a massage. Maya died on a beautiful sunny day in July. That's right, I'm taking it somewhere else. Come with me. I'll bring you back where you want to go. My aunt died on a beautiful sunny day in July. She died in Michigan with my mom beside her. Experiencing the levels of grief and loss with my mother, who is my best friend only over the phone since I've moved to California, has been one of the most disempowering feelings I've ever experienced. Loss is the catch in your voice, is the rattle of silence before the explosion of tears. I knew it was coming, this death. But resignation does not make loss any less potent or jarring. Imagine watching waterspouts form over the lake. You can watch them before you feel them, before they become full-fledged tornadoes shooting across countryside and subdivision alike, sending cows into shopping malls and ripping your roof clean off. Impact is not affected by warning. I was sad, is what I mean. My aunt died and I felt like a tornado just shot through my heart the way one did her backyard in the days following her death. I was sad and I wanted to feel another way. Drugs! My friend was staring at my tear-stained face and said, no, massage. A massage is a nice way to engage in self-care. Just let yourself feel. Embrace it and release it into the universe. In those moments, feelings, embracing and releasing, being touted as the things to do felt to me like my mother's advice to me in high school. She touted dusting, vacuuming, and mowing the lawn as things that will create feelings of well-being. No matter how much the breakup sucks, Kathleen, no one can take the feeling of a clean shelf away from you. I just never thought the clean shelf feeling was all that great, I guess. I wondered if my feelings of accomplishment and pride, love, and completeness would be awakened by sitting for a 90-minute massage. I was dubious. I wondered if a self-care afternoon filled with a massage would give me the clean shelf feeling my mother told me about all those years ago. Cost is always an issue. I would love it if my massage was a no cost is too much cost for my feelings of goodness event. But I'm fucking working class, and even writing that makes pride punch me in the guts. I don't want to want things I can't have. I don't want to want things I can't have. Pampering is often just a state of mind for me more than an actual action. Therefore, pampering does not come natural to me. I'm certainly no foe to being a lady of leisure, though. I decided to go for the most cost-effective and time-sucking massage I could find. There's a place on Geary where you can walk in and get a 90-minute massage and a 30-minute hot tub experience for about $60. Wild. I felt like I won the sad person lottery. When I walked into the spa, after I pointed to the massage of my choice, the woman explained that I should soak in the hot tub before my massage. You know, in order to be as wet as possible. Because you'll really... you know, want that desired wetness. Now, perhaps in a less grief-induced state, I would have asked her what on earth she meant by that desired wetness. But instead, I nodded, put my clothes in my little locker, and padded pathetically to the hot soaking tub in order to sweat out all my feelings and retain the desired wetness for my massage. The room was large, like a tile gym locker, only it was filled with middle-aged naked women. It was hot, wet, and very steamy. I was sweating so much I felt like I was sweating out some serious minerals. Very likely some old booze. Maybe some sort of drugs. Definitely vitamins. Probably pizza. Absolutely pizza and Coca-Cola. I felt like I was on the edge of something, the self-care high, let's call it, where when I meandered into the wet sauna for a brief, other sort of wet break, I had a series of declarations sweep through my sweat-addled brain. You should come here every day. What a great way to start life. It could be otherwise marked by a hangover. What a waste of time. Look, you might even start a whole new friend group. Middle-aged women with whom you sweat and exchange nods. Fuck those homos. You'll exchange nods in the early hours of the day, settling into your reasonably wet massages. I retired to my other home, the hot tub, after hallucinating a sexy butch woman coming into the steam room next to me, maybe us having sex for a million sweaty, stinking years. Time for a hot plunge. Because really, who am I to think of sex at a time like this when I should only be thinking of my aunt, who is so funny? She loved bingo. She loved soft flea market blankets with wolves howling at the moon on them and flirting with her regulars at her truck stop restaurant. My aunt, who is now dead. Just then, a tiny woman wearing a bra and underwear stood in front of me and barked, 32! It wasn't a question. But it was also Beau. See, I admire this type of confusion / intimidation-inducing speech a lot. I was wet, naked, and both. And by both, I mean sufficiently confused and intimidated. 32! Massage! Wet enough? Oh, yes! Yes, and by that I meant, I think I will die if I sit in here much longer. Wet enough? Yes? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'm still in the dream where I'm meeting someone for the first time who is not an emergency surgeon, and I'm standing naked in front of them. But this time I am not dreaming, folks. This time I'm going to a massage. In my imagination, a place that should be known as, at your age, you should know better. Instead of the more innocuous and cute-sounding title of imagination, well, in my imagination, things are not often as they are. My expectations and romantic way of thinking of things is often hurtful. My imagination is a dangerous place, people. I would imagine the whole massage walk would have first involved me putting on a towel. But it strangely didn't. I would also imagine this woman and I walking down a corridor to a dimly lit massage studio room with Enya playing and maybe soft gray walls. But we didn't go down a corridor. We walked two steps away from my hot tub home to a shower curtain. She pulled back that shower curtain and I blinked. Blink, blink, blink. This was not a room for the modest. It was a white linoleum fluorescence like the rest of the spa. There was a large trash bin in the corner filled with what appeared to be water. There were children's sand pails floating on top. There was a massage table for sure, but one for a horror film as it was covered in a plastic tarp. And there was a drain directly underneath the table. This is the first opportunity of many where a person could feasibly leave gracefully but doesn't. For curiosity or damn foolishness, who can say? I also realized at this moment that I couldn't think of one friend off the top of my head who wouldn't be bolting for the door and, or at least asking a few questions, really doing anything instead of what I was doing, which was, of course, to lay down on the table and accept my fate, whatever it was. God help me.
Yeah.
She threw a tiny washcloth over one end of the plastic table and said, "Put your face there." I did and immediately was surprised. It seems my massage therapist has some sort of superhuman strength. I was struck by her hand on my ankle, which immediately got its grip and threw my legs open, and at the same moment her apparent third arm thrust a bucket of water up the highway of massage table that was between my legs. Oh, where was that massage table heading? Straight to my you-know-where, that's right, on that highway of no man's land to Pussy Palace. It seemed from my face-down vantage point, she was like one of those amazing drawings of a Hindu goddess, because it seems she had eight arms, each holding a bucket, and each arm had a kind of ruthless ability to send powerful seas of water over me, inside me, splashing any semblance of my modesty right off the table and down the drain below me.
That was a lesbian's, or a part of a lesbian's guide to self-care in the 90s by Kat Marie Yoss. You're listening to Queries on Joy 94.9.
That was pretty amusing.
It was pretty amusing. Which bit?
All of it. So, self-care. We're going to have a quick chat on the panel about self-care tips.
Yeah. You just like the name of one of the black... queer.
Yeah, that makes me feel pretty good. The what was her name?
Stud Slayer. No, it's really good to hear people talking about self-care. I think it's something that's really important for us in the queer community. Something that it's really important to nurture self, particularly when sometimes the world's not a particularly nurturing place for us queers.
The world can be a pretty crappy place. Emma, have you got any tips?
Well, Lana mentioned before that she liberates flowers, I think it was. I think it's Flower Slayer. And I was thinking about that, and I was looking, thinking of my garden at home and the desolate state it is. And that might indicate a little bit of care required.
Yes.
I think if your garden's great, you're in a great place.
Oh, that's a nice little metaphor.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got to wrap up now. You're listening to Careers on Joy 94.9. We'll be back next week at 12:30.
With something.
Something great.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.